With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, should the NFL change the rules for pass interference? Plus, Sean Merriman joins the show to talk about Todd Gurley's diminished role with the Rams. And have the Cowboys found a fix for their offense? Skip Shannon, let's get to it. Well, the Rams are headed to the Super Bowl, but it was behind one of the worst games of Todd Gurley's career. He had a touchdown, but only had four carries for 10 yards total. Gurley's been battling a knee injury, but he didn't use that as an excuse. He said after the game, quote, "I was sorry as hell today." Yesterday, Sean McVay said that Gurley is healthy and added, quote, "I should have done a better job of getting Todd more involved." All right. We're joined by FS1 NFL analyst Sean Merriman. Mm-hmm. But first, Shannon, what is going on here?
I believe Todd Gurley is still hurt. There's a reason why they signed C.J. Anderson. And when Todd Gurley dropped those passes, as a guy that's played hurt, those were passes that he dropped because he's thinking about his injury and not concentrating on the football. I've been there. And as soon as he dropped the passes, I know something is going on. This is why they signed C.J. Anderson. This is why C.J. Anderson got more carries than Todd Gurley, because if you remember, Skip, at the start of that Cowboys game, even though Gurley started, C.J. got the lion's share of the carries. And then to close the game out, who did they hand the ball to? C.J. Anderson. Now, that's your bell cow. Todd Gurley is your bell cow, who you paid a king's ransom, the highest running back, paid the highest salary for a running back in NFL history. And he's on the sideline when the rubber needs to meet the road and you need to close the game out. And a guy that you had just scooped up off the couch 2 weeks ago is carrying the mail. That lets me know that look, everybody's saying the right thing. Todd is healthy. He's fine, blah, 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 because I'm not trying to let the Patriots know anything what's going on. But if you think Todd Gurley is 100% healthy, 100% healthy running backs don't spend the bulk of their time riding a stationary bike behind the bench in an NFC championship game. I'm going to leave it at that.
Your thoughts?
You know, I give Todd Gurley credit because he easily could have said, my knee is hurt and I'm not performing well, but he took all the blame. You know, I take it back in 2007 when we played the Colts in the playoffs when I was with the Chargers and LT went down. His knee, he had an MCL. He went down, he couldn't play. Michael Turner had to come in and win the game for us. He was a backup running back. He came and won the game for us. Nobody really talks about that as much because we won the game. We played the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. Nobody talks about that. The main goal in that game is Sean McVay made the right decision in keeping C.J. Anderson in the game. Do what's best for the team because he had the hot hand. And as long as he can run between the tackles and get those extra yards that we need, he don't need to be Todd Gurley. He just needs to do enough for us to win this game. He made the right call. He went with the flow of the game. Todd Gurley is a great running back, but he can do more things and run out of, you know, just take the ball and run out of the backfield. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can do multiple things. C.J. Anderson's not that back. C.J. Anderson, like you said, was brought in to do just enough for them to win the game, and no one would ever bring it up again because they won. If they lost, it would be a totally different story.
Okay, so help me out here. That year you got to the AFC Championship game at Foxborough, and I always heard North Turner wasn't happy with LT because he wouldn't go back in, right? But you're saying he was really hurt.
Oh, he was hurt. He had, I think, a grade two of what it was. And, you know, as a running back having an MCL, your knee is unstable.
It's a sprain.
It's just wobbling all around. He couldn't plant and turn.
Especially the way LT plays now.
Yeah.
LT's not a power straight ahead.
So,
LT
so
can
you think. Guys didn't think he didn't come through?
Well, we went into the next game, into the AFC Championship. All of us hurt. You know, myself, Antonio Gates, LT, Phillip Rivers played with that partially torn ACL that he had surgery on the week before just to play in the game. We all walked in that game hurt. But nobody really talks about it as much because we won. We got to the next level. But we remember Michael Turner coming into the game, you know, his teammates coming to the game and winning it for us and doing exactly what he needed to do for us to progress to the next level.
At Indy. Right?
At Indy,
okay,
correct.
Okay, I got you. But you lost, obviously, in the So Brady gets another break. They're all hurt, right? Here we go again.
It happens.
I'm not so sure Todd Gurley is as hurt as you think he is. He obviously was hurt, but all of a sudden, I don't think we've seen anything quite like this happen. Starting on December 16th, C.J. Anderson turned into Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. Am I right? Mm-hmm. He turned into the Nick Foles of running backs because he steps right in for him at Arizona, regular season game, and he goes 167. That's a lot of yards, man.
For a guy that got off his couch on Wednesday.
I know.
Right.
And then they come home and close it out against San Francisco, and he goes for 132. That'll work. And then against my team, to your point, Gurley starts, but right away it's CJ, 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 and he goes for a big 123 that just killed my team, just ripped their guts out. I still can't get over it. I don't know how you do that, but whatever. And then he got the lion's share of the carries at New Orleans. But to me, I know you're looking at it like you're trying to guard your injury and you're not focused on the football.
Yes.
It's also possible that Todd Gurley's just like stressing, man, like he's pressing and stressing because he knows I better catch this ball because if I don't, I'm going to lose snaps because this guy's coming in because he's really good. And I keep telling you, CJ doesn't look the part because he's a little butterball, but and he gained some weight on the couch, and it doesn't matter.
Looks like he gains some weight from the Cowboys game.
Yeah, it did.
Seriously.
He did. But we got this thing in football. We always say, well, fresh legs, right? Yeah. Whenever somebody come in and they haven't been playing and their body's not beat up from the season, I think that, you know, it's almost funny that Sean McVay might have done something here in bringing fresh legs or running back this late into the game in the playoffs because he is fresh. He's capable of going out here and touching the ball in case something happens. You got a running back there that is more than capable. He's been
playoff
sitting
experience.
Around.
Playoff experience.
Okay, exactly. I got it. But how many times can you find that guy on the couch on December 16th?
Not often.
And again, are you taking advantage of yet another John Gruden mistake?
Exactly.
Right?
And guess what, Skip? C.J. Anderson had big games against the Patriots. You remember that
night
game?
Absolutely.
Do I? He ended.
He did.
It was 30-24 in the snow, and the quarterback was Brock Osweiler.
Yep.
And it goes back and forth, and Brady actually played pretty well in that game against Wade Phillips.
Right.
But in overtime, C.J. got loose up the left sideline for the touchdown that ended the game. So here we go again. Mm-hmm. So you don't think Sean McVay's thinking, I might need to ride that horse.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they'll play. The dimension that Todd Gurley gives them that C.J. doesn't is his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, the ability to get down the field to catch the ball. Now, I don't think Gurley had a whole bunch of carries, but I think he had one. After that touchdown, he had one more carry.
Yeah.
But he played, I think, 13, 14 more snaps, Skip, but that was to get him on the field. Maybe they were going to use him as a decoy to make you focus on him because you're not really focusing on CJ in the passing game. So I it's just hard for me to believe that the man has just stepped off a cliff like this here because I don't see it. I think he's injured.
I would like to look at two quick plays that I saw Todd Gurley run, one against my Dallas Cowboys, one against the New Orleans Saints. The first one went 35 yards for a touchdown. Tell me he looks hurt on this play because he looked like Todd Gurley to me when he broke loose. This is against my Cowboys. Tell me, do you not see the burst? Look at this. Look what he did to my safety, Xavier Woods. That just looks like Todd Gurley to me.
But Skip, you know what? When you're hurt like that, you can always show spurts, right? Even on that touchdown run, he scored in against.
Okay, let's look at that one. We got that one, too. This is from, I think, 6 yards. 6 yards TD, and he got to the goal line. I mean, I don't know. That just looked like Todd Gurley.
You know, it spurts.
Looked explosive.
You know, it spurts. Even when at times when I hurt my knee, I can go out and get a sack or two. I just couldn't play well for 60 plays.
Right.
You know, and he can go and do something spectacular when it's needed, but he can't go out and sustain, across the board 25, 30 snaps. You know, and that's across the board. That's anybody who's hurt. You can do what's necessary when needed, but it's no way he can go and line up after getting, tackled a few times and line back up and then go cut off of that leg again. If you get put in the backfield in his situation, what he did, of course he can show a spurt and get in the end zone. He needed it.
Hmm. I bet we're going to see a lot of CJ.
Yeah.
The mental side of it, too.
Yeah. CJ, big game back.
Mm-hmm.
Big game. Mm. Have big game. That's what you say. Hey, some guys just have better games against other guys, but Todd Gurley's going to get – he has a week off. I don't believe he'll do a whole lot this week.
I don't either.
They're going to put the game plan in, so everything once you get to Atlanta will be a dress rehearsal. You're just fine-tuning. CJ going to get his snaps, but Todd Gurley is going to be a factor.
I think it's highly possible that CJ will get the bulk of the carries in this game and he will not be a Ram next year. They'll just go right back to riding the other horse.
Well,
I don't know. It's just going to be hard to keep him.
I wouldn't keep him for a whole season. No.
It's been fun to see, though.
How much?
Exhilarating.
How much you got over there? Hmm. I'll stay for a couple of million.
Yeah, how much?
I'd rather stay here because, look, he knows his role. He gonna get X amount of carries, nice little situation, as opposed to going somewhere else. Because everybody ain't gonna love you like they love you in St. Louis and at the Rams.
He acknowledged he understood his role
in
the interview with Aaron Andrews.
Yep.
He was so
and they got good food out here. They got good cuisine out here.
They got good food.
In L.A.
Go back to the weight. You guys Roscoe's are being so hard on the guy.
That ain't gonna help his weight, I tell you that.
He
Roscoe's
said it was
ain't
gonna pregnancy
help.
Weight because, you know, he's expecting a
baby. He ain't pregnant.
The guys affect, it affects everyone. That's what he said in the interview.
CJ greedy. I know CJ when he wasn't expected it in Denver, and he looked the same way.
Okay, fine.
You can't eat
can't
a whole
make that
chicken.
Excuse.
He's talking about, I bet I don't eat number chicken. The whole chicken?
No. No.
Either way, Sean, good to see you. Appreciate your time always.
No mercy.
Hey everyone, Jenny Taft here, and thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. If you like what you hear, then you should subscribe to the First Things First podcast featuring Chris Carter, Nick Wright, and Jenna Wolf. The First Things First pod breaks down the biggest stories in the world of sports. So if you like the NFL, NBA, college sports, then you're going to like this podcast, the First Things First podcast. The First Things First podcast drops Monday through Friday with a special weekend edition as well. And be sure to catch the show live on TV before us every weekday at 6:30 a.m. Eastern. Now, back to our show.
No mercy.
Headed to his 9th Super Bowl, and a big reason why are the guys up front. In the 2 playoff games this year, Brady has dropped back to pass 90 times, and he's been sacked 0 times.
What?
Sunday was, yeah, 0 times.
What?
Also, the first time the Chiefs defense did not have a sack in a game. Brady said yesterday, quote, "I think they're stars. I wouldn't want any other guys than those 5. It's a good note how clean his jersey was, right? At the end of that one, you mentioned it yesterday.
Interesting.
So, Shannon, is the Patriots O-line underrated?
They've been underrated all year because they don't have a Zach Martin. They don't have a Tyron Smith. They don't have a guy that's probably going to the Hall of Fame. They don't have a guy going to a Pro Bowl that's first-team All-Pro. But they were 3rd in sacks allowed. They were 5th in rushing. But all you hear about is Tom. And so that just goes to show you that he has support, he has help. Contrary to what Skip Bayless wants you to believe, that this is all Tom Brady. Oh, Tom Brady's doing this. And I already know what he's going to do. Oh, and he throws the ball so quick. But
wait, have I spoken?
Not yet.
I don't think I've said a word.
Because I know you. I know you.
You can't do that around here.
Sonny Michel, how'd that run game looking, Skip? Against San Diego.
How about Rex Burkhead?
Oh, whoa.
You like Rex Burkhead?
I thought you were
journeyman.
I thought you hadn't spoke yet.
Oh,
I thought you hadn't spoke yet. I thought you weren't speaking.
Okay. All right, continue.
But who was on the field in crunch time Sunday at Kansas City? Rex Burkhead.
Yeah, he was. But was Tom Brady blocking for him? We're talking about the offensive line, so I don't want you to bring Tom Brady. Thank you, Skip. I appreciate that. That was so nice of you to let me go.
You got
thank
it.
You.
Let's talk about the O-line.
Sonny Michel, 100 plus yards against Chargers. Sonny Michel, another 100 plus, 3 touchdowns. Do you know Sonny Michel is the only rookie running back to ever rush for 5 a touchdown in the playoff in the Super Bowl era?
Yep.
He's the only the second running back to rush for 5 touchdowns in the playoff season since another Georgia Bulldog, my former teammate, Terrell Davis in 1997. Oh, that's all Tom. That's Tom Brady doing. Tom Brady's also a great fullback. So let me note that Tom Brady fullback. Anyway, yes. We can talk about Tom Brady only throwing the ball 6 times, 10 yards or more down the field in the first 3 quarters. But in the 4th quarter in overtime, it shot up almost triple, 17 times. So, obviously, Skip Bayless, guess what? He's taking more time to throw the ball down the field, and the results are the same. Nobody's touching him.
Interesting.
Tom Brady's lying pretty good.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's pretty good. So, Dante Scarnecchia, when they lost the championship game, to Denver and Denver. Dante Scarnecchia had retired the year before.
The offensive line coach
offensive
for the
line
Patriots.
Coach.
Yep.
Coach Belichick was somehow able to lure him out of retirement.
He did.
With the bag. Went over to his house, Jenny, paper bag. Looked inside like, what's this, Bill? Coach Belichick walked out the house. Next thing I know, Dante Scarnecchia is coming back. He's unbelievable. He's as good as it get at what he does. That offensive line, you don't really know. I mean, Trent Brown, Joe Tunney, David Andrews, Shaq Mason, Marcus Cannon. Yeah, they're the names. But I don't think any of those guys would probably be rated top 3, top 2, top 3 at their position. But those 5 guys together behind the Indianapolis Colts, it's hard for me to believe that there's a better offensive line. Especially what they've been able to do to rush 100 plus yards and to keep Brady clean.
Interesting.
That's special.
So how are they doing this with a Trent Brown, who was a former seventh-round draft pick that they acquired this past offseason from San Francisco, mm-hmm. remember? Gave a third-rounder, but they got back a fifth-rounder. Yeah, it's a complicated deal.
All that in the Garoppolo. That was okay. part of the Garoppolo.
But remember, they lost Nate Solder, big-ticket item to the Giants, right? That was their left tackle. And then they drafted a left tackle with the 23rd overall pick, Isaiah Wynn. And what happened to him? Second preseason game, Achilles rupture.
Yep.
Gone for the year. So now you're down two left tackles, and you throw in Trent Brown at left tackle, former seventh-round draft pick. And you mentioned Joe Tooney. He's a third-rounder. David Andrews, undrafted free agent out of Georgia. And Shaq Mason was a fourth-rounder, and Marcus Cannon was a fifth-rounder. So these are not big-ticket items,
yeah.
any of these five guys right here. But the Pro Bowler, the star, the All-Pro, is the offensive line coach. He is simply – you could make a case he's the greatest offensive line coach ever because he's had nothing but high-level success with low-level type players,
yeah.
right?
Alex Gibb was the same way.
He was. And again, you know what? He deserves to be in this conversation
yep.
because he even made Mark Schlereth.
Hi!
Right? You know, our guy.
Got to
but,
the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, there you go. But the point is, you're right. Dante Scarnecchia, I first met, speaking of bags of money, back in the days at SMU, they did a documentary. They were called The Pony Express, and it became The Pony Excess.
Yes.
But it was Eric Dickerson, Craig James.
Literally Pony Express.
Yes, it was, yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was on that staff. That's where I first met him. And then he went with Ron Meyer to New England, and he's still there
yep.
after all these years. And he seems to get better with age because he's 70 years of age, and this might be his greatest job ever,
I'll agree.
Right? Because how can you get better than that? You go into without a left tackle into the year?
90
Whew.
Pass attempts. He's
okay.
been hit three times, Skip.
Okay. And yet you're about to go up against. Think about what your challenge is now. With that offensive line up against, this is the front four for the Los Angeles Rams. You got Sue, who was the second overall pick. Then you got Dante Fowler on the outside
third.
Rushing the pass. He's the third overall pick. And then you got Aaron Donald, the 13th overall pick. And then you got Michael Brockers, the 14th overall pick. So you have four players drafted in the top 14 in the draft going up against that mishmash here of just guys. These are just a bunch of guys over here. But you got Dante Scarnecchia, who has revitalized this whole line because what happened in that AFC championship game against Wade Phillips? What happened in that game? Tom hung in there as
yep.
long as he could, and he did drive them for a touchdown
yep.
that cut the score, the lead to 20-18. Mm-hmm. So then they had to go for two,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And if we could see this play, you tell me what happens on this play. There's no Dante Scarnecchia, and he drops back to pass, and he's got a bolt. How many times in these plays have you seen Tom have to roll right? That ball got tipped up and intercepted.
Yeah.
It was a two-point try. If we could maybe see it one more time. Watch. He's got to go. He feels like he's got to go to the right away, right?
Yep.
Because they're blitzing and people are coming unblocked, right? That was the moment where Bill Belichick said, we just can't do this, right?
They didn't have success all day because a lot of that
he got sacked four times in that
Malik
game.
Jackson and,
yep.
and Wolf because you had Ware and Von Miller on
yep.
the edges and Wolf and Malik Jackson
did.
Was pushing the collapse.
By the way,
pocket,
Tom had two interceptions that day and had a QBR grand total of 37, scale 0 to 100. So he had, by his standards, a pretty pitiful day.
Yes.
Which, that's why Dante Scarnecchia came back out
yep.
of retirement.
Yep.
And then what happened in last year's Super Bowl with a couple of minutes left? What happened? They're driving, I think it's 38-33 at
mm-hmm.
this point. And guess who the right tackle is? He's now a Dallas Cowboy named Cameron Fleming. Cameron Fleming and Brandon Graham just powers right through him. And Tom's holding the ball just a second longer, although he really didn't have much time on that one. Brandon Graham, that's just a big-time play. And he got his hand on the ball, and that's the only sack of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron Fleming was the right tackle, now a Dallas Cowboy backup, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they have now replaced him with Marcus Cannon, and all of a sudden everything is clicking. But now, to the point you made for me, thank you very much. I don't know if any quarterback in history has gotten rid of the ball as quickly as Tom Brady does now because he is. If you could say somebody has mastered the position, I think it's unmasterable. But Tom Brady's playing it at as high a level as
only
you can play it.
Only guy probably Marino. Because
maybe on release?
Yeah,
on,
because sometimes, Skip, his offensive line would go the whole season
yep.
and give up single-digit sacks.
That's true.
Because it was so hard, because you know Dan was letting it go.
But you know what? I'm going to repeat it again. Joey Bosa got so frustrated in the fourth quarter of the Chargers at Patriots playoff game, he finally turned to Tom and he said, quit throwing it so fast because it's just not fair after a while. He wears you out mentally because he's reading it so quickly. And again, we talk about Patrick Mahomes' no looks. Tom's really good at the no look. Like he doesn't lock in on a receiver.
Right.
He's looking over here and all of a sudden he's coming right back. Yeah. And it happens so fast. It's just quick eye movement. I'm here and then I come right back here and Edelman is running an option route, but I can see that he's going to go left and I'm going to come right back to him. Boom.
Right.
And the ball's gone. Tom's release is quick.
Yeah.
And his brain is quick.
Skip, I think in most offensive line coaches, and most coaches will attest to this, Skip, it's easier to coach a guy that's been drafted in the later rounds because he really didn't have bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you get a guy in that first round, he think he knows everything. Oh, man, I'm a first-round pick. I'm a second-round pick, bro. What you going to teach me? But when you get an undrafted free agent, you get a fifth rounder or a fourth rounder, Skip, you're able to mold them and say, son, okay, this is the way we're going to do it here. First rounder, know he's safe. Hmm. Fifth-round pick, undrafted guy. Mm-hmm. That's why Alex Gibbs, Tommy Nalen was, I think, a sixth or seventh round pick. Mark Sloreth, I think, was maybe undrafted, a 12th round or something like that back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Swain was a defensive lineman that they moved to the offensive side of the football.
Yep. What has Mark Sloreth always told me about playing offensive line? It doesn't matter about weight room strength. It matters about leverage, angles, knowledge.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how ripped or cut you are, how strong you are, bench pressing. If I know how to get you off your feet, I will beat you every time.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. And that's what they know that others don't. That's what they're doing. Because I'll bet this collection, if you took their shirts off and paraded, you'd be like,
And the thing is, Skip, look, they know where Tom's going to be. So I can't get beat here because this is where Tom's going to be.
Yep.
You can beat me another place. You can run all the way around the horn, but you can't beat me here because this is where I'm vulnerable.
Well, all I know is that the Chiefs led the league in sacks, and that was the first game all year they had zero.
So I just want to know. I think Jenny want to know. You want to know too, Healy? Yeah. Does Tom have any help?
He's got a pretty good offensive line.
Is that help?
It's worked pretty well. This is the biggest challenge because against that front four, against Wade Phillips.
It's okay to say, Tom has help. It's okay. I admitted yesterday. That Tom is goat man. Goat man.
Okay. Does he have a lot of help at receiver? What did I tell you yesterday? We had the great Deion Sanders in here. I said he could be in a sack race with the sack around his legs and he could cover Edelman.
Let me ask you a question.
Seriously.
How many one-hand playoff catch have you seen Odell Beckham make? Because I just saw Chris Hogan make one the other night. How many of those?
How many have you seen in Chris Hogan's career like that? I don't know.
That's my point.
Oh. You don't have enough time to get
And wait, I got one last point. Okay. My point is Bill Belichick's defense gave up 24 fourth quarter points in 3 minutes?
Pissed the shit out of for a half.
Ooh, I don't know about
Pissed
that.
Pissed the shit out.
Yeah. Different halves.
Not a lot of help.
Different day. No mercy. The NFL will reportedly discuss this offseason whether to make pass interference penalties reviewable. This comes on the heels of the major controversy in the Saints' loss on Sunday. After the game, Sean Payton was told by the head of officials that the refs, quote, blew the call. And yesterday, Saints owner Gail Benson said that she will, quote, aggressively pursue changes in NFL policies. Shannon, should pass interference be reviewable?
No, because then where does it end? What about holding on the offensive line? Skip, was pass interference, was it a rule that was instituted this year? So it's been going on for a while. Why now? Mm. You see, and it goes to something else we've talked about, Skip. We're not nearly as concerned about things that don't affect us. We've been talking about that a lot over the last couple of years, about things that don't affect us and we seem to have no interest in. But, Skip, that's a fish I'm going to fry another day.
Mm-hmm.
Right here, I'm going to keep this right here, what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You see, what has transpired, Skip, is that, so what about a call? I mean, Dak Prescott, you mentioned it, got hit in his head. They didn't throw a flag. Should Jason Garrett have been able to review that? Because that would have been an automatic first down. It didn't. Jared Goff, Sunday. On second and goal, he got a face mask on the scramble. Should Sean McVay been able to review that? You see, the rules have already slanted for the offense. Skip, at some point in time, you got to let you got the incidental contact. You got all that. You got the defenseless receiver. You got targeting. This is why you see 13, 14 guys throw for 4,000 yards in a season. You're getting guys getting 5,050. It's commonplace. Mm-hmm. You're almost disappointed if you don't have a guy or two guys that have 5,000 yards in the season. So the offense is already have so much slanted in their direction. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe this. So this is the first time that a call have gone against the team. And I get it. At the moment, it's the NFC Championship game, and you're one step away. Skip, I get all of that. But it's hard for me to believe that there has not been an egregious call that has happened over the course of NFL history that's gone against the team that prevented them. Because what have we heard? I've heard every coach that I've said, that I've had, and I played 26 years of organized football, from Pee Wee to JV to high school to college to pro, Skip. And every coach has said, we don't blame the officials. It's not one call. It's not one play. And lo and behold, if a play goes against you, we're going to throw all of that out the window. Now we're going to start blaming the official. Mm-hmm. Really? What about Drew Brees? Drew Brees did not play well. You had a 13-0 lead in the first quarter. What about that? So I just want to know, when does it stop? So what are we going to do? Every P.I.? Because I can assure you, that guy didn't say, you know what? I'm going to miss this call. I ain't going to call it. Because we're going to talk about Andy Reid and said how he said the guy had his hand on the flag.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So what? And he threw the flag. Mm-hmm. So Andy Reid's going to be upset that he interjected himself. Mm-hmm. Sean Payton, on the other hand, is upset that the guy didn't interject himself. Mm-hmm. So who's right and who's wrong here? But Skip, don't do this. Mm-hmm. Because you're opening up a can of worms, you're going down a slippery slope that there's no coming back from. And I just want to know, where does it stop? What's not going to be? So why is holding? Why is defensive PI more important than offensive holding? I don't think it would be. Hmm. But I definitely don't think this should be reviewable. Hmm.
What is the most significant penalty in NFL football as opposed to college football? It's the pass interference. Sure. It's the most penal of all the penalties because it's a spot foul.
Yeah.
And so if you throw a 60-yard pass, it can be a 60-yard flag, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to college football, where I would teach my kids to just grab them.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Like if you're beat, just pull them down.
Yeah.
Make sure that it can't catch it. It's almost like the intentional foul in basketball. Just wrap them up. Make sure they can't shoot it. That you can't get the end one, right?
Correct.
So in this case, the pass wasn't that far. And I get everything you said about everything that transpired for the first 58 minutes of that game. But I can't help the fact, I can't stop the fact that the wrong team is going to the Super Bowl. I just can't help it because you can do all the ifs and ands and buts about the previous 58 minutes. But in the end, all anybody knows or cares about now going forward is with 1 minute and 48 seconds left, a pass was thrown to an open receiver and Nickell Robey Coleman, the nickelback for the Rams, decided he was so beaten that I'm just going to foul him.
Yeah.
I'm going to run him over. And he admitted after the game, I was dead,
sure,
man. I wasn't going to let him score. So he made a choice. I'm not going to give up a touchdown. I'm just going to take the pass interference. And he willfully took it.
Yes.
It was blatant. Mm-hmm. It was flagrant. It was egregious. Nobody in the known world disagrees with the fact that should have been called by three flags should have flown, right?
Correct.
It's as blatant a pass interference as you will ever see. It's helmet to helmet. It's face guarding. It's all of the above. It's the worst uncalled penalty I think I ever have seen in a big moment, in a big game. Mm-hmm. This is one step from the Super Bowl. Then to carry it on out, so now with a minute and 45 seconds left, they would have had first and goal at the 5. The Rams had one timeout left, and I'm not great at clock math, but I've read a lot of stories, so if you bleed it correctly down to take the field goal on fourth down, mm-hmm, you would have left the Rams with about 25 seconds left, and you would have kicked off to them. Could they have pulled off another Zuerlein miracle?
A New Orleans miracle.
Okay, well, could they? Yeah, it's possible, but not probable.
Right.
So now I'm left with this sinking feeling that the wrong team is going to the Super Bowl, that the Rams are counterfeit, that they're fraudulent. And again, I have nothing but respect for the Rams. They had a great year. They're a loaded football team. Are they a worthy Super Bowl? Yes, they're worthy. And I don't have any problem with that. I'm not thinking like some hopeless underdog is playing Brady and Belichick, because they're not hopeless.
Right.
In fact, on paper, they look like they're a little better than New England, right? Mm-hmm. They should have played better than they did all year. Maybe they finally just figured it out now. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time for them to flex on the Super Bowl stage, because if they flex all their muscles, they're better than New England. Okay, so I get all that. But New Orleans deserved to go to the Super Bowl. So in NFL history, we've seen this league, and it's a great league, but it's been reactive, not proactive.
Yeah, it's reactive.
It always takes a flashpoint. Sure. It takes an outcry. And I'm going to go way back, and most of our viewers won't even know what I'm talking about, but the reason we have any replay at all was a play that happened in the 79 playoffs at Pittsburgh featuring Mike Renfro. This is Pastorini to Mike Renfro. Do you remember this? This is Bum Phillips Oilers, and guess who's an assistant on the staff? Wade Phillips is on that staff. And if we could see this play, this is a touchdown to Mike Renfro, who I got to know when he was a Dallas Cowboy later, but they said he was out of bounds. 1 foot goes down. It's bang, bang, he got his feet down.
Yep.
Okay, if there's replay, is that a touchdown?
That's a touchdown.
Well, sure, it's a touchdown. Okay, so that play arguably kept the Oilers from going to the Super Bowl that year. Okay, and I believe that would have been the one that they played Vince Ferragamo and the Rams here in
79,
right? Okay, so the point was that created outcry. And Bum Phillips just beat that drum through that whole offseason, and it started the wheels turning toward use of instant replay. It didn't come in for about 5 more years, but again, that was the flashpoint. So to me, because Sean Payton is on the competition committee, and he is outraged over this, and he's already been pushing for some sort of replay on pass interference, I'm willing to bet you that by next year we're going to have replay of pass interference at least in the last 2 minutes of regulation and in overtime.
So what is it about helmet to helmet?
I'm with you. You're going to open Pandora's box.
Yes, because I want to review that.
Okay. It's any judgment call. Should we open it up to any? I'm open to doing that. I'm open just to say in the last 2 minutes, okay, now we have length of game. So you understand, the college game is almost 30 minutes longer. And you know college games. They can go forever. And again, I never complain. I'll watch a University of Oklahoma football game, and it'll go on, and I'll look at my watch. I'll say, this is a four-hour game.
Yeah.
Does anybody care?
No.
Nobody cares. But usually you're not threatening Sunday night primetime programming, right? It's not 60 Minutes or The Simpsons or Family Guy or whatever's coming on, you know, where you're going to threaten your nighttime block. Mm-hmm. But that's why they've tried to keep the NFL games as close to 305-ish, 310-ish as they can.
Yes.
So would this lengthen the games? It could, depending on how many times it got used. Look, in the end, you love this game. I love this game. But don't you want them to get it right?
But here's the thing, though, with college, Skip. They stop the clock on every first down.
Okay.
NFL, they keep it running. Yep. So can you imagine if they were to stop the clock on every first down in the NFL game, how long it would take?
Okay.
So if college is, and that's what, you know, Time yesterday came on our show and he says, college should implement all NFL rules to prepare these guys.
For what's the overtime rules.
Right, overtime rules and to stop it. But Skip, you know where this is headed.
Okay.
The game is going to be, you say that now. I don't want a 4 hour, I don't want a 3.5 hour NFL game. I don't want a 4 hour NFL game.
3:30 you know what? Would bug you?
Yes.
To me, our technology is so supreme now. We have cameras everywhere. We can see it from 15 angles until finally on the Edelman muff or non-muff, we saw it. We got it this way and that way and that way until finally I said, guess what? He didn't touch the ball. His thumbs didn't touch. Weren't we pretty sure no thumb touched the football?
Yes.
Well, back in the 80s and even in the 90s, I'm not sure we had enough angles to figure that one out.
Right.
But we got it. I think they got it right.
Mm-hmm.
It took a while, but they got it right.
Right.
Well, they would have gotten this. If the head referee goes over under the hood or wherever he's going, you know, and takes one look at that, the Nickell Robey Coleman play, wouldn't he just take one look and say, oh, we missed that one?
Skip everything bad in slow motion.
Okay. But this one was blatant. I still can't believe they didn't get it in fast motion.
He was wrong. And just like, and just like players panic sometimes, you like, why? All you had to do was just turn around. They panic. He panicked. He's human.
Yeah.
Who panicked? Oh,
the official.
Oh, the official. The side judge,
panicked.
The back judge. I don't know which one
froze.
Did. Yep. And again, remember what's going on. More and more throughout this country, gambling is being legalized.
Yes.
So you have a lot of people betting a lot of money on these games, and they see these referees, they all have, just like I have right now, they have an earpiece in.
You're right.
So they're starting to say, again, conspiracy theories are flying,
but right.
This cloud of doubt is growing over the NFL. Are these games predetermined? Are they,
right.
did they want the Rams to go?
If the people ever think the outcome is already predetermined, it's over. Football is done.
And again, what did the owner of the New Orleans Saints say?
Right.
Gail
Benson. Mm-hmm.
What did she write in her response? She used the word integrity. Mm-hmm. She said this is called into question the integrity of the National Football League. Well, that's a strong word to use because after a while, once you lose your integrity,
Skip, you're done.
I
think this has a lot more to do with the feel-good story of Drew Brees and what he's represented in New Orleans and Gail Benson, who's taken over the New Orleans Saints ownership from her husband.
Yeah.
But come on, this is not the first time an egregious call has been missed or made.
It's just at a flashpoint moment that decided the game. That's all. We can go back through the missed face mask and any other thing you want to question, second guess all through
right.
the game. But that one, I'm pretty sure, decided the football game. The lack of flag on that play sent the Rams to the Super Bowl. No disrespect to the Rams. It's just a flashpoint, and I think you're going to hear it the rest of the offseason. And I think the competition committee, they've already announced, they will at least address this issue. Sean Payton will campaign to at least get replay instituted on pass interference in the last 2 minutes. I'll bet you it will happen. But to your point, and it's a valid one, okay, then what about holding? What about helmet?
Yes.
What's going to have to happen is any judgment call will be reviewed maybe just in the last 2 minutes in overtime.
Because we've seen, Skip, guys hit someone with their shoulder.
Sure.
And they say helmet to helmet. They throw the flag. And you're like, that wasn't he. Mm-hmm. That's what he saw.
Okay,
so now I want to review that.
But what do you hear on television live in the moment?
Yes.
You hear Mike Pereira, former director of officials now at Fox.
Yeah.
He'll take one look at a play and he'll say, that was a foul, right?
And he's right.
Yeah, yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
And it's easy. Gene Steratore on CBS, he former head of,
official. He's taking one look at a play in replay.
Yeah, right.
That guy's eyes is not in replay. He's looking at it instantaneous
but, but to your point about time and dragging on games, it's pretty easy. Now, Mike Pereira's under fire. He's just sitting in the booth, but he'll take one look and say, that's a foul.
Right.
Not a foul.
But here's the thing, Skip. Let's just say for the sake of argument, they take one look and come back and say, this was this or this was that.
Yeah.
See, he ain't even take no time.
Okay.
Look how soon he came out of the
booth.
He ain't spent no time. They had already told him. Skip, you can't win in this situation. You know how this works.
Could open up a lot of changes. And to any change to the rules, it would have to be approved by at least 24 of those owners to make any changes.
Well, I know the Rams not going to vote for it.
I don't think they're going to be voting for it. They're going to be
We good over here.
The Cowboys' big move after losing in the playoffs to the Rams was firing offensive coordinator Scott Linehan on Friday. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys had the 22nd ranked offense this season, averaging about 21 points a game. Reports say Dallas could promote QB coach Kellen Moore to offensive coordinator, but Jason Garrett could end up calling the plays. Shannon, is this a good move by the Cowboys? I'm going to let you hit this one first.
No. Skip, I think Scott Linehan did a good job. I don't think he did a great job, but I think
loved him because he was no good.
Whoa, Skip, that's unnecessary. Hold on, I thought it was my turn to talk.
It is. I want your
opinion. I just had to put that in perspective.
No, you put it in perspective when it's your turn and my turn right now. And I think he did an okay job, Skip. Mm. He did win two division titles. Mm. He did win calling the plays, have Zeke Elliott, who's a two-time rushing champ. Skip, how exotic you're going to be when you're a run-based football team? Mm. We're limited. I still say Dak Prescott is far from where you think he's going to be transcendent. You think he's going to be generational.
I didn't say transcendent. I just said he's going to be really good.
Okay, but he ain't really good right now.
Mm.
And that's what Scott Linehan
worked. Won the division. He won a playoff game. I don't know what more you could ask of him at this stage and age. What's not to love?
So all you do is win the division. Blake Bortles won the division.
All you do is win the division. It's hard.
Blake Bortles won.
I sound like Andy Reid. Hey, we got it.
Oh, yeah, you see?
You did. At least you called yourself out on
this. This is a young football team. It's the youngest playoff team.
Blake Bortles won the division last year on a young football team. What we think of him. Well, but anyway, before I was so...
Torched Bill Belichick's defense.
Before I was so rudely interrupted. Skip has a habit of that. Hold on. I could see you fire Scott Linehan and you go out, you go get a Cliff Kingsbury. You're going to get you the next Sean McVay. You're going to get a young Josh McDaniel, somebody of that ilk. You're going to stay in-house, Kellen Moore, and possibly Jason Garrett's going to call plays. When was the last time? Man, you remember that game Jason Garrett called? Woo! Boy, he had them cowboy fly. Boy, Jason Garrett called a masterpiece. Said no one ever. But now you want Jason Garrett go call. You see what happens, Skip Bayless? See, this is when Jerry opens his mouth. We some different cats. We never going to be the same. You're the same. Because you got the same. Let's try to tell you. Jerry, you did all that talking, all them bumming them gum. Got a big old yacht. Got some time to spend on it. Atlanta ain't got no water anyway. Think about that, Skip Bayless. I tried to tell you, you got all happy. We different. Jerry said we some different cats. We can compete with everybody. No, you can't. You're on the couch.
By the way, his yacht is so special, you can take it on dry land. Yeah. You didn't know that, did you? You can just take it across the country.
It might come with wheels. Yeah.
It's bigger than a football field.
Yeah. So, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, Skip Bayless, because you've been...
I haven't even said
you
anything.
Can, no, I said you ought to be ashamed of yourself because since we've been on air, this is what you've been recommended. This is what you've hoped for.
I have.
I know, and I don't like it.
So don't tell me scapegoat because it's been 3 years of me saying no, no, no more. It's too conservative. It's too milquetoast. It's too vanilla. It's too predictable. It's too uncreative.
How creative? Like, okay, let me ask you this. Before you go any further, how creative could you have been? You said, look at who he's throwing to. How creative could you have been before you got Amari Cooper? You said Dez was on his last legs. You say you love Jason Jason Witten, bless his heart. He means well, but he couldn't run anymore. But that's what Scott Linehan was supposed to diagram plays for?
Yeah. Well, while Jason was on his last legs, Dak was on his first legs. Yeah. And you got to let Dak run the football occasionally. You don't want to wear him out and put him in harm's way. But he's a 240-pound man who can take it and dish it. And every time he ran the football, good things happened.
Where's the exoticness in that? I thought that was done.
Well, that's pretty easy to do. Just call some zone read plays.
No, they
read
want
some, options.
No. Yeah. They want somebody to come up with an offense like what you see with Sean McVay.
Okay.
What you see with Sean Payton, what you see with Josh McDaniel.
Okay, well, guess what Jason Garrett just did? This is my two cents from a distance. But he told Jerry Jones, I believe, behind closed doors, I can be Sean McVay. You just got to let me loose.
No.
Give me the reins.
Hold on, Skip. He came out and did his press conference and said, everybody's going to be back. He said Scott Linehan was going to be back. True. Stephen Jones said, hold up. We hadn't made any decisions on coaching moves. And now all of a sudden, he had to walk that back. It wasn't no Jerry. He went in there talking about, Jerry, I can do this.
Well, maybe he had been told one minute, you're going to have to take him back.
Well, hold on. Wait a minute, Skip. I thought you said Jason Garrett said he coaching his team. Again, Jerry's coaching his team like I said it before.
Okay, I'm going to say this for the first time. What? I'm a big fan of Kellen Moore's.
Are you?
His father was his high school coach, and he tells stories of he was drawing up plays when he was 5 years old. I think he could have some Sean McVay, Sean Payton, Andy Reid.
Well, let's hope he's a better play caller than quarterback in the NFL.
Okay. Well, he wasn't bad.
He was terrible.
He wasn't terrible.
Okay, what's worse than bad? Terrible.
I don't know.
What's worse than terrible? Awful.
He was really good at
God awful.
His college career.
Yeah. Was he not good?
In college?
Yeah.
There are a lot of guys being good in college.
Okay.
I know a guy that was good, really great good. In college. Don't we, Skip?
Who? I don't know where we're going.
He might be playing baseball now.
Oh, he might be with the Mets. he might be in the big leagues. And he might make you look foolish again because you said he couldn't play baseball.
He can't.
How can he be a Met in the big leagues?
I could be a Met. Yeah. I could be Mr. Met.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, you could be Mr. Met.
Maybe that.
But the point is, Dak Prescott has a connection to Kellen Moore. They're close. I don't know if I can go to soulmate close.
They're close in age. You know? That's the only thing they're close in.
Right?
I think he's 30.
How old that? 25?
Yeah, 26 maybe.
But Dak didn't lead 3 years.
Dak Prescott's just made his second Pro Bowl. Who knew?
Man, look at Skip. You know what? He's the 17th alternate.
I know he is. I can't take that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you got to take that one.
I can't.
So who all dropped out? So let's see. Drew chose not to go. Jared Goff can't go.
I think Mitchell Trubisky's going.
He's going after Mitchell Trubisky. Hold on. I know Mitchell Trubisky ain't make the Pro Bowl. He was all in it before that.
At least they let Mitchell Trubisky run some, right?
Because he can run better than
Matt Nagy. I mean, at least he calls his own plays, so that's the new way of the
world.
What
happened to Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan must be didn't want to go.
I don't know what happened. Nobody wants to play.
They don't.
The point is, going into this football season, 14 of the 32 head coaches called their own plays. So now Jason Garrett's saying, oh, well, we'll give Kellen Moore the title of offensive coordinator, but you know who's going to coordinate game plan, call plays? It's going to be Jason Garrett.
14 of them are good. He ain't good.
Okay, well, I don't.
But, Skip, you ain't told me. I want you to tell me the game plan that you remember that Jason Garrett called, and you say that's a work of art. That's a masterpiece.
I do give Jason this credit. He showed me more gambler this year than I thought.
Jerry showed you. Okay, Jerry the one that told you he wanted him to go for it on fourth down and criticized him on.
Do you think Jerry has direct connection and contact with Jason during the game? I don't know.
He tell him before the game.
Go for it? Of course, it was Jason Garrett's final call through the third to fourth quarter break with the game on the line, down 8 points at the Ram 35-yard line, fourth and short. They chose together, he and Linehan, but Jason signed off on the call to give it to Ezekiel Elliott straight up the gut and run him right into Donald and Sue. That's a really creative, smart call, and it went backwards.
Okay.
Right?
You said he signed off on it. Mm-hmm. Why didn't he draw up something better?
I don't know.
Don't he got something in the playbook?
I don't trust this. I don't like it. I don't like the direction. They should let Kellen Moore have the offense, but they don't have the guts to do that. He's not one of their guys. He's too young. He was obviously a former. It seems like just a year ago he was the backup quarterback, and now I don't think they would trust the whole offense.
So let me ask you a question: when this goes nowhere fast,
yep.
And I believe it won't go anywhere, mm-hmm. Then what are we gonna do with Jason Garrett?
Well, you know how I feel about him. They should have started over, started fresh, because Dak Prescott has been rising above Scott Linehan and Jason Garrett.
Stop it!
He has been winning in spite of Scott Linehan
not.
And Jason
They've
Garrett.
They've been winning
he
in spite
has.
Of him.
Nope, in spite
top
of.
Top five defense, top three scoring defense. Yeah.
And what happens? What happened against Green Bay and then against the Rams? In the two out of the last three playoff games, the defense did not show up in the first half in either game.
Yeah,
you fall behind 21-3 to Aaron Rodgers. You fall behind 20-7 to Jared Goff.
Okay,
really?
I'm trying to figure out why you only got seven and why you only got three. Because was Dak not playing?
Boy, Dak just fought his back end off the second
half. I want to know why you keep fouling.
He got you all the way back to down 8. How impressive was that? He threw for 266 yards.
You know,
I thought he was really good.
You could have played from the front.
He had a better QBR than Jared Goff. So he's played against Goff three times now. He outplayed him all three times. Go look at the QBRs.
And took the males.
Okay. Well, but it wasn't his fault. He can't
play defense. Yeah.
You know what? Next year they should let Dak go both ways and play safety.
Blame here. Yep. That's the difference in our show. We lay blame here.
Oh, do we?
And I place it solely at the feet of him.
Well, all I know is Dak Prescott won me 6 cases of Diet Mountain Dew this year.
And you about to give it
six.
All back.
Six?
Well, he already do. And he won me a case this year, too, already in 2019.
How?
Won me a case.
Yeah. Oh, he did.
Sure did.
But then you got canceled out by Tom Brady, and now you're down one.
You can't bet against
Tom Brady has cost you 3 cases already
know
this
that
year.
I'm going to get it.
Know.
Get
you're
it back.
Get it back on the Super Bowl?
Yep.
Well, that means you're going to have to take the Rams. Good luck with that.
Speaking of a different quarterback.
How else are you going to do it?
He's going to try every which way. Is it no mercy? How about those Lakers? They were blown out last night by the Warriors behind Klay Thompson's 44 points. That wasn't a huge surprise since they were once again without LeBron and Rajon Rondo. But Luke Walton says he expects Rondo to be back on Thursday. On the other side, LeBron has been cleared to practice, but Walton said, quote, I haven't seen him do contact yet, so I don't feel as confident. The Lakers are 5-9 without both players and are currently out of the playoffs. Mm. We're joined by FS1 NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can LeBron and Rondo fix the Lakers' problems with a return?
Well, they can't fix what they ran into last night because Boogie Cousins is fitting in. He's running the floor. He's moving the ball. And that team now, a great scorer can get an open shot every time down the floor because you're just instinctively going to double somebody and and Clay will be open, or Steph will be open. But as far as getting the Lakers to the point where I've said they are all season, they can beat anybody else in the West, or they're right there with OKCs and Houston's and the other top second-tier teams, yeah, I think LeBron and Rondo can help with that. What we're seeing right now is the difference between a guy or guys that can play point guard. They can bring the ball up the floor. They can initiate the offense. And guys that instinctively are point guards. LeBron, Rondo, even Lonzo, who's out now, they're instinctively point guards. Lance Stephenson, Brandon Ingram, they can bring the ball. They can dribble. Yeah. So they can bring it up the floor. But the more the ball's in their hands, they don't make the right decisions. Mm-hmm. They don't make great decisions. Mm-hmm. And Lance sometimes will just lose the ball or make a silly decision or whatever. And right now, with their lack of margin for error because of the injuries, they're winning on talent. You know, Kuzma can score, Zubac can score, and
who needs to play more?
Yeah, he does. You know, and they have some talent, but the games are close, and those one little wrong decision by Lance, one little bad turnover, one little wrong decision by Ingram, that can be the difference. It was those minor things that cost them against Houston. You know, and so.
Oh, you mean not fouling on the catch of the ball and letting them get off?
Well, that's what. But even letting them get back, letting them, you know what I mean? They had letting them get back in the game. It's little things like that that cost you. And look, they're in ninth place, but they're only four games out of third. So I do believe when LeBron and Rondo get back, and I think LeBron will be back against Phoenix. That's Sunday. Okay. That's what I'm. That's what
I'm
predicting.
That was what I said from the
start. He said we don't do scrubs, but
somebody said we're doing the Timberwolves on Thursday. But I guess you got overruled by others in the brain.
Yeah, Rich Paul overruled. Rich Paul overruled.
Okay.
Yes.
I think they can. They can get in the playoffs, and then, as long as you can avoid Golden State.
Right. That's that's your only hope. That's what you hope. Is to avoid Golden State in the first round. You don't want to see them in the first round. And like you said, there's nothing he can do about that. If the man gonna make his first 10 threes, what you gonna do about that? Steph Curry had an off night. Kevin Durant was quiet. And then here come Clay, 27 minutes. And you know he's nobody.
But you know what I do love about them real quick before you go? Kevin said after the game, we just sold out for Clay because we saw how hot he was. So they don't care. Yes. Like that. How many teams in the history of this league have just said, oh, it's your turn tonight. Okay. We'll just give you the basketball. And they just fed him like it was embarrassing how they fed him.
But nobody can heat up like this kid. I mean, Steph got greater range. But, Skip, nobody can heat up like this kid. I'm talking about no dribble. Just catch and shoot the ball and release it. Nobody can get hot like this kid.
He shot no free throws. It's hard to
get 44 points, no free throws. It's 27 minutes.
Yeah. The anti-Harden. That's really what he is.
Look at where they were with LeBron and look at where they are without him. So I believe he can get them back into that four. I thought they could be third or fourth at the beginning of the season. I still believe that because some of the games that they're losing because of their decision-making down the stretch. And again, last night, they missed 16 free throws. Again, 22 or 38. Now, the other night, Skip, in fourth quarter and overtime, I think they were perfect 18 or 19, maybe 20 or 21 and shoot from the free throw line. But this will cause you to get beat. You miss this many free throws, that's free points that you're giving away. Well, LeBron come back, but he's just showing you. I'm the GOAT. I know James Harden is having
showing you he's the GOAT? By sitting out?
Hold on, wait a minute.
Michael Jordan didn't sit out.
Wait a minute, Skip.
He played every game.
He broke his foot.
Well, that was
And how many games? How many games he missed?
Well, he broke his foot.
Okay, he tore it growing. He hurt it growing. Now,
did he?
Anyway, as I was
saying, I thought he tweeted the next day. Dodged a bullet back in no time.
He did.
What is the problem?
I think he heard it pop.
He must
have.
And
he thought, uh-oh.
Right.
Well, then why would you tweet that the next day?
Well,
because got the MRI.
That's the difference between, 4 months and 4 weeks.
But anyway, before I was interrupted between you two guys over here, Mr. Pick the Game Guru, Chris Broussard. They're in the fourth slot. Now, when it's all said and done, we're going to be in the third or fourth again.
I really
believe that. And when you fill out that ballot, you make sure you put one by LeBron James.
Well, it is set up for him to make a run at MVP. And maybe he's just letting this linger a little bit.
He ain't letting it linger.
Well, I don't get – you know what? I got several observations here. But number one, Lonzo Ball, but they're going to miss Lonzo because he was really starting to click. Yep. He had 10 assists in 20 minutes at Houston. Mm-hmm. Then he just rolls his ankle over. I've seen LeBron do that 5 times, mm-hmm. roll his ankle over like that, just like that. And Lonzo's gone 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he probably tore some of the.
You got little ankles.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
Aaron knows big ballers.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You got the more.
Is he wearing? No, I couldn't tell.
You got the orthopedics on.
Right. I don't know if that's what they
not
are.
Not enough support.
It's not a good thing.
They're low top.
If that's a thing.
I don't know. But again, I'm trying to do a positive negative here because LeBron is Iron Man. You've said this before. He'll roll his ankle. He did against Indiana in the playoffs last year. I said, he just shakes it off and he'll jog a little bit. And all of a sudden, he's full speed again. And I say, how do you do that? That's not normal. That's not mortal. That's not human, right?
Right.
But in this case, so the groin, I don't know if it popped and it's going on for a month. I don't really get it. Maybe he had business to attend to. I don't know.
No, stop. I saw what you tried to do. Talk about maybe he had a business. He had a you see how you tried to do this?
Chasing Michael B.
Chasing
Jordan.
Nobody.
He's got shows to produce. Yeah. They're everywhere. He's got.
We already got them in the can.
You know, it's early.
We got like 7-8 shows already in the can.
7 or 8.
Yeah, already in the can. We ain't even worried about
God. Okay, now back to Saturday night. Again, it was a crucible. It was a fire test for these young Lakers to see who can be LeBron's supporting cast, who can be his co-star. I'm going way out there on co-star. But again, I've been highly impressed by Kyle Kuzma until Saturday night because I thought that was a pivotal night for young Kyle Kuzma because I watched the whole game at Houston. Again, James Harden, it's like James, you want to talk about having no help. He's down. No Capella, no CP3. Eric Gordon had just come back that night, and he looks a little sluggish so far, not quite back in game shape. And the point is, Kyle Kuzma goes off and scores 20 in the first quarter at Houston. That'll work.
24 the first half. Okay.
And he winds up with 30 going into the fourth quarter. And then what happened? Nothing happened. He completely disappeared. He scored 2 points in the fourth quarter, and he made 2 free throws at 6:23 left, and he took one shot. He missed a three at 3:20. Just disappeared. And guess what he did in overtime? The game is just on a silver platter. They should have won this game.
Yes.
They're talented
enough. And it would have been
two good wins with Oklahoma City and Houston. And what happens in the overtime? Kyle Kuzma goes 5 minutes and takes no shots. Now, P.J. Tucker is getting up into him, and it's hard. But you got to be better. And the last play of the game, it's an inbounds pass called for Kyle Kuzma, and he sort of fumbled it and couldn't hang on to it, and it goes out of bounds. Well, that's not help for LeBron. That's not that guy. Are you ready to take that next step? No.
I'll put some of that on Kuzma, no doubt. But that's what we were talking about, the decision-making. Mm-hmm. A LeBron, a Rondo, even Alonzo would have got him shots.
I think
in the first half, early on, Houston probably took him lightly. We're going to run over these guys.
Yep.
Then in the second half, and certainly the fourth quarter in overtime, P.J. Tucker, to your point, they got in them and said, all right, let's defend. And Brandon Ingram, because Kuzma's not the guy you can just give him the ball and he'll create his own stuff, bring it up court.
Right.
That's why he works with LeBron, because he's catch and shoot, or he can score without too many dribbles. Mm. But when you don't have that guy that can get him the open looks, Ingram and Lance, I mean, that's their backup point guard.
So
right,
what do you make of, you reported it the last time, forget which day you're on the show, last week, about you had talked to Rich Paul. And in fact, I think he had contacted
that
you.
That morning.
Yep. And he contacted several other media outlets to say, time out. We're making this decision, not the Lakers. What do you make of all that? It seemed almost angry.
And Rich, and when I talked to him, it wasn't angry, but he told me, remember I said he would be playing if it were the playoffs. What I make of it is LeBron, last week at least, was 75, 80% where you could play if you had to. Mm-hmm. But right now it's like, look, it's the regular season. Like we're ninth, but the West is so stacked that we're still in the race. And he's trying to get to 100%, which I do think is wise at this stage of his career. Mm-hmm. I think that's what this is, Skip. He's 16th year, all that wear and tear.
Was he feeling pressured by Luke or Magic to come back before he was ready?
I don't think so, because I got to be honest, I don't think that organization with pressure.
I don't either.
You know, I really don't. I think they let him do what he wants to do. Mm. And they are adamant that he will be back when he's 100%. Mm. Playoffs, we'll play at 75-80.
Guess what? These are our drums. We beat them when we want to.
Oh, interesting.
That's how we do over
really?
Here.
Really? How you do? I was wondering about you on Saturday night because I noticed Rondo made the trip in street clothes and was there on the sideline for support and coaching and inspiration. And I don't know why, but LeBron didn't make any of the road trips.
I thought Luke Walton did a very good job of explaining that LeBron James would not be making any road trips.
Why is
so
that?
Therefore, we would not have to make those announcements ourselves.
Really?
Thank you.
Well, why wouldn't you be there to inspire your young teammates? Because we get home
getting treatment.
You're getting treatment?
Yes, on a Saturday night.
On a Saturday night?
Yeah, we're getting it around the clock.
You're in the sauna?
No.
We're getting the hyperbaric chamber.
We're getting our physio. We're getting this work in.
Yeah.
So when we come back, we're going to be on a mission.
Yeah, but you're puffing on a big cigar.
Okay, we had a glass of vino. Why you all following us on IG anyway?
I don't know. I hear about it.
You don't hear about nothing.
Do you think he's setting it up for that MVP? Because he can't miss many more games. Just to win the MVP. It has to be something so spectacular.
Oh, he's coming back.
That he takes.
Oh, coming back.
I'm just warning you, those teams beneath you, even though you're in the ninth spot, but 10, 11, 12, 13, they could all get hot.
See, here's what I think. I think the Clippers are coming out. They've lost five of six, I think eight of their last 14, and they just don't have that much time. Okay. I think they're falling out. I don't think Minnesota is going to get in the race. Right there. So I don't think New Orleans. You think New Orleans? I don't think New Orleans would.
New Orleans is going to do the right thing.
But AD's out now.
New Orleans is going to do the right thing. Okay. They got an injured player. We got an injured player. Okay, we'll swap them.
Just for the record, when you do come back against Phoenix, then all of a sudden you're going to hit the road, even though the first game's not, it's kind of a home away from home game. It's Clippers. Right. But you go at Clippers, at Warriors, at Pacers, at Celtics, at Sixers. You better be in MVP mode at that point, because if you aren't, it's going to be a battle.
But you know what LeBron does to the East.
Okay. I know what he used to
do. Boston's going to be you're right. Indy, Boston, I think they can beat Philly.
Embiid, he
looks up to LeBron. So don't you get that impression? He looks up to LeBron so much. He is now
the best player in the East, but that will be
won't give Kawhi.
Who? You know who.
Who?
And Giannis. What about
that
Giannis?
Guy, number two?
I think Embiid is. Claw. He was really good last night.
What about old Claw?
Huh?
Old Claw.
Who?
You know.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Skip, look, you got to let it go, Skip.
I can't let
and,
it go.
Hey, what Kyrie you mean? Irving's been balling lately.
Oh, he has. He was balling last night.
It's not the points. It's the assists.
Right.
We've
never seen him do that.
No.
What do you have, 11?
But see, that's what happened. What did he do, Skip? You notice what happened? He made a phone call about 10 days ago to somebody. Don't pretend like you don't know what I'm talking about.
He used LeBron James as a prop
to
send a message to his teammates, you better bow down to me because I didn't.
You know what, Skip? You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
No, he did.
Give the Godfather his credit?
If he wins MVP this year, I'd give him a lot of credit.
No.
Set up.
Let's just get him back first.
Yep. He'll be back.
Let's get him back.
When he comes back? I got to talk to him. I'll call it today.
Okay.
I love how you refer to LeBron as we and
us.
We with the Lakers.
Yeah.
It's a partnership.
Oh, yeah. Me, okay. Bron, Rich, Randy, Mav. Yeah.
You're in on the decisions. Mm.
You grew up with
LeBron. I'm so glad to have an insider.
I knew you grew up in Akron.
Right? We sit around the table having no vino.
Let us know the latest. Shannon.
Wait, you went to his wife's school, Savannah State. I forgot about that. What?
Chris, thank you for being here as always.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Catch us at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.